I know you guys just sat down with your buffet of donuts and coffee, and my son said, Oscar was telling me, he says, I guess you had to play two songs so we can allow them to go through and get their donuts. The line wrapped around the building a couple times. You know, I do miss it. I do miss not having it back there at times. We had a minister's meeting the other day, our leadership meeting, and we talked about how, you know, we make do with what we got. We use what we have. But I know that when God blesses me with the building, we will have a fellowship hall that we're able to do this on a regular basis. We will have classrooms and facilities for the children. And I know that the biggest thing that my desire is to have room for the children to grow. And that when their experience is coming to church is not one of those that I used to have when I used to go to church. You know, the kids had to be still. They had to be quiet. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't shout, couldn't run around. And you would leave beat up as a child. And that's what you would hold as a memory of what church was. And it wasn't until later on that I realized that what you remember of church is what you're always going to think as church is to be. And my biggest cry is, God, can we just get room for the kids? Amen. Can we have room for the kids? And not just a room, but a room that is filled with the things that they need. And I said, God, I know you're going to do it. I do. Amen. We have our conference that is coming up on June 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's called The Opening. And we're trying to figure out where we're going to put the kids. So y'all just keep that in prayer, please. Where are we going to put the kids? I want them to enjoy a conference, but same token, I want you guys to enjoy. So I didn't want to have workers back there, but we got to do what we got to do. But June 6th, 7th, and 8th, the opening for our four-year anniversary here at the House of Manna. I'm excited because there's some things that are happening. There's some things that have been happening, and there's some things that are about to happen. Amen. So I'm excited about it. So I pray you enjoyed your coffee, your donuts, and your water. We took the juice out, but I just pray that you enjoyed it. Savor it. Just savor it. You know, we went to go get, you know, those ones with the light, what comes on and it's nice and hot. What is that one called? Krispy Kremes. You know, the one that's nothing but sugar, that one? They melt in your mouth. That's what sugar does. But I am so excited. If you mothers, if you would, please stand to your feet. Mothers in the house with donuts in your mouth, coffee in your hand, it don't matter. All right, mothers, raise up, please. All right. I want to thank you, and I want to bless you as mothers, bless you as men. Go ahead, Oscar, because you know. Go on, Oscar. Some of y'all don't know, but that's it, Oscar. That's it. Oscar is a single parent of three beautiful girls. He's had to be mama, and he had to be daddy. And so you stand to your feet, sir. I want you all to give a round of applause for the mothers that are in the house. Come on, a real hand of applause. Come on, show the love. Well, Pastor, I ain't got no children. You got dogs, you got cats, stand up. Go on, there you go. Yeah, those are your children. I bless you, mothers. I bless you with grace, favor, and blessings over your life, for your children, for your household, and everything that your hand touches, let it prosper. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you a message. I know it's Mother's Day. I want to get to this. I really, really do. So I made it a point to don't go nowhere, Marty. Just stay right here. Don't even get away from the pulpit. Just stay right here and just read. Don't walk this way. Just read. So I'm just going to try to stay put right here. I'm going to try. I'm just going to try. All right. This is called A Mother's Request. A Mother's Request. Mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinaries. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Mothers are gardeners. Mothers have a green thumb. Mothers are nurses and doctors. They're psychologists, they're counselors, they're chauffeurs, and they're coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies, and shapers of attitude. Mothers are soft voices saying, I love you, and disciplinarians saying, don't make me come up there. Mothers are a link to God, a child's first impression of God's love. Isn't that good? Let me read that one again. I like that one. Yes. Mothers are a link to God, a child's first impression of God's love.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, really think about that.
Yeah.
I was just about to go by. I was just about to go. I said, just stay right here. Think about it. A child looks at a mother and says, this must be how God is. Because mama loves me. When I break the vase, when I was throwing the ball in the house, that I shouldn't have been throwing the ball in the house. After she told me 3 and 4 times to stop throwing that ball in the house, she still loves me.
Amen.
She loves me when I run around in the kitchen and the pot is boiling and there's things, and she tells me, don't do that. And you don't have an understanding why she says it. But you do it anyhow. Or she's the one that tells you, don't eat that cookie dough because you're going to get a stomach ache. And after about 6 bites, you start to realize, how did mama know? Must be God, because every time I do something wrong, mama already knew. Before I even came home, mama even knew that she must be God. How can she see everything and know everything? How can mamas know everything? I try to hide everything that I know to hide. You just try to hide everything you know you're supposed to hide. You know, when you're supposed to be home before the reasonable time. And you have a curfew. But if you drive up to the house, they're going to hear you. So you put the car in neutral and you turn off the car and you just coast into place. And there's no way that she should have heard me come down the street because I turned the car off a block away, turned the radio off, put the windows up so that I could make it in quietness. But as I coast into the driveway, I see a light that is turned on. I see a silhouette of what looks to be like God. I see fire in the eyes, lightning bolts in her hand. She must be God. How did she know I was coming home? What I did not understand was that mamas don't sleep until their children come home. Mamas toss and turn until your blessed children come home safely. They pace the living room, the kitchen, look out the window numerous of times. Back in the day where there were no cell phones and no pagers. Listen to me, kids, in here. How did mamas know? How did they know? There was no cell phone and there was no pager, much less internet, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. But mama had all the news and all the details and who you were with and where you were at. Mama must be like God. Mama must be like God. Mamas knew how to pray. Pray because they want to protect you and pray that they don't kill you. Can we real talk, real? You know, your mama's in here pray. Bless my child, bless it, Lord. You better bless and keep me before I beat the living. You know what? Out of him, her, all of them. I think children teach mamas how to pray.
Amen.
I think that God said, "Mama, one of the things that I'm giving you is how to pray." Because mamas will stop praying for themselves and their breakthrough and everything as long as they know that their babies are okay.
That's right.
Amen. Mamas continue to pray for those that have lost a mama in the past and are in glory with their father in heaven now. I want you to know that they're the ones that are praying continually for you.
Amen.
They're ministering spirits that continually go on and watch over you as well. For some of you, you put your angels through a test. You put your angels to the point where I need some backup.
Amen.
And God is saying, oh, let me just send mama a message. And mama knows how to pray. How many of you know that when you were a kid, when you fell off the bike and you scraped your knee so many times that they had to put the patches. Stay right. All right. I'll stay right here. I'll just stay right here. They put the patches on the knee like six times because, you know, those huskies weren't no more huskies because, you know. Yeah, you had to put the patch. You know, the big patch. It was the patch that went like from here to here. But you fell so many times off of that bike. You know, the orange 10-speed bike that you really didn't know how to ride. It was too big for you. But you determined to get on that bike. And ride around the apartment complex when you weren't supposed to. And race all the other bikes. And you nothing but a little whippersnapper. Didn't even make it out of fourth grade yet. But used to run around Canlin West Apartments. Some of y'all don't know about this. Let me just talk with your blood. A little bit. Get on that 10-speed bike. Brakes don't work. And go around real fast. Mama would come out. Didn't I not tell you not to be riding around the apartment complex like that and racing with your friends? Now get that bike in here and get in here right now. That must be God. Must be God. How'd she know? How'd she know I was doing that? And then come on in. Mama don't want to hit you with her hand because it hurts her more than it hurts you. So the nearest thing they find is the thing that you're going to get hit with. Come on, let's be real. Some of it is not the chancla, the little puffy ones, you know. You know those puffy ones, Oscar? That's open toe, open back, and they're so pink and fluffy. And they got so much cushion. That ain't going to hurt you. So what they do, what they grab is anything they can find. And then you realize that when we mess up as adults, we get the chancla still. How is it that mamas can look over at you when you're messing up and not say a word, but say so much? I was about to have just, I had a flashback real quick. I remember that.
The look. The finger.
And then all of a sudden the lips. Then you start to cry before anything is ever done. She must be God. She must be God. How else can someone just look at me and then make me cry? All right. Or a mother that will reach down when you're hurt and grab hold of you and say, baby, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it through. I know it hurts right now, but you're going to make it through. You don't understand it. Even mama don't understand it, but you're going to make it. Don't quit. Don't give up. You're going to be okay. Calm you. Dust yourself off. Because mamas know how to reach down and grab hold of the babies and look in their eyes and say, I love you. And it's the magical kiss that takes all kinds of pains away. It's going to be better now. Must be God that can kiss like that and take the pain. Must be God that can reach down and grab you at your lowest point and lift you right back up. And you know love like never before. Or how about when you get old enough because you know everything. You know everything now. And because you know everything, I don't have to listen to you, Mom. I'm an adult now. I know you don't know, but I know. Yeah, y'all haven't been there? Mom, you don't understand. It's different today. You don't know. It's not like when you were growing up. You don't know what we have to face. You don't know the challenges we have. You don't know. I know. You want to grow up? Fine. Then you're God's. ¿Qué? For some of y'all, that don't mean cake. That means what? You give me to God. That means you ain't going to get mad at me?
No.
I wash my hands. And I give you to God. Well, I thought you were God. How is it that we can transition out of the adolescent years where they used to have to do everything for us, and then the next thing you know is they say, okay, go figure it out on your own. Is there a manual that you mothers have that we don't know about? Haven't you kids thought about that before? How is it that moms know certain things but we don't understand? They have the answers to all kind of mathematical equations that they didn't finish high school or college, but they know our math. Well, no, really, they don't, because they have a hard time. They just get the brothers and sisters to do it, and you know. But they know everything else. So I give you to God. So they know how to sacrifice. And it's amazing, because then I start to see how mothers begin to give of their life for their children. And I see how my mom has given her life for me, as many of you have given your life for your children. And the children should recognize on how much they sacrifice. Children in this room, listen. You have wonderful clothes. Now you have a bedroom. How many of you have the latest? You children in the room, raise your hand. How many of you have the iPhone right now or Samsung? Raise it high. Come on, let's raise it on up. You got iPhone, or you got one of the new phones that are out, or you got iPods and iPads and all kinds of eyes, right? Right? Uh-huh. And Mama has the last year model, or the model that was free, or got it for a penny. Or they still have the flip phone that can't even get any picture mail. I'm just trying to tell you is that sometimes Mom won't get what they want because they want to make sure you get what you want. And they have to hint to you what they want. Oh, those earrings are nice. And then the kids look at you like, they're all right. But don't even take the hint. But how many times do you give so many hints? With the notes in their purse. Mom, I want this for my birthday. Mom, I want that for Christmas. Mom, I need this. Mom, prom is coming up. I would like to wear this. Mom, and Mama's just saying anything that I can do. If I got to work overtime, if I got to do what I got to do to get you what you want. That's Mama. Ain't that right, kids? Huh? How about when Mama feeds you and gives you the last of the rice? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then gives you the last tortilla? Or gives you the last taco? Mama, you gonna eat? No, I'm fasting. I'm fasting right now. Gives you the last soda, even though you weren't supposed to have it, but she gave it to you anyhow, just so that you'd be happy. Yeah. Knowing that we can't afford a cable, make a sacrifice so that cable can be paid just to keep you happy. Mamas know what to do, and they do it for their loved ones. Pastor, is this your message all day? Really? All day? Can we get to the Bible? I'm going to read to you a story that I think that is very interesting. It's from Irmer Bombeck. So the day God created mothers, he had already worked long overtime. And an angel said to him, Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one. The Lord turned and said, have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She's to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She's to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She's to have a lap that will disappear when she stands up. She's to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. She's supposed to have 6 pair of hands. 6 pair of hands, said the angel? That's impossible. It's not the 6 pair of hands that bother me, said the Lord. It's the 3 pair of eyes she's supposed to have. 1 pair that sees through the glass, the closed doors, so that whenever she says, "What are you kids doing in there?" she already knows what they're doing. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all things that she's not supposed to see but must see. Amen. And then she has 1 pair right in front that can look at a child just goofed and can communicate love and understanding without saying a word. "That's too much," the angel said. "You can put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" "No, I can't," said the Lord. "I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger meat, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower." Then the angel looked at the model of the motherhood, and a little more closely he said, "She's too soft." "Oh, but she's tough," said the Lord. "You'd be surprised how much this mother can do." "Can she think?" said the angel. "Not only can she think," said the Lord, "but she can reason, compromise, and persuade." Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. "This one has a leak," he said. "I told you, you couldn't put that much in one model." "That's not a leak," says the Lord. "That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" asked the angel. "Well, it's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, or disappointment, for pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. And the Lord said, "Oh, but I didn't put that in there. That's from her." Isn't that interesting? Beautiful story. I promise I'm going to continue on. Here's your scripture reference. If you would, please turn to Matthew 20:20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20. We'll read through verses 23. This is called a mother's request. Matthew 20, verse 20 through 23, out of the NIV. And I'll begin reading. "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant the one of these 2 sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom.' 'You don't know what you're asking,' Jesus said to them. 'Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?' 'We can,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at the right hand or the left hand is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father.'" Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that we honor your word, not whether we sit or stand, but when we activate it and we use what we've learned from your word, that people can look unto us and see that truly the kingdom of God is within us. That we activate the word in our everyday life, that people can see the fruit of the kingdom of God that is deep within us. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you today is a day, not just for mothers, but for your children, Lord, to see how great you really are. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teachings of Jesus about his kingdom. She went to Jesus. So mama has 2 boys that are very important in the work of the kingdom. So she goes to Jesus. Here's the key. She went to Jesus on behalf of her sons and asked a very interesting question. Not just to work for Jesus, but to sit in a place of authority with Jesus. So somewhere in that, she understood that there was a kingdom mindset she had to understand. So in other words, she listened to Jesus. and the teaching of the kingdom. So she asked. She was also aware of the fact that her sons, James and John, were close to him. They were two-thirds of the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. She understood who they were. She understood the proximity of who Jesus is in their life together. So she knew there was some closeness there. So she had the right to ask, right? Hello? Do we do decaf coffee or do we do regular coffee? She knew that there was a relationship that was there. So she could ask Jesus. My two sons are in the inner circle. Matter of fact, you always call them to do things together with you. Can you just make sure they're in a place of authority with you? And she asked to sit on the right and on the left. So she understood about the throne. So when she asked that, how many of you know that mamas will pray just for your benefit? For your position. Not only did she pray for that, she also prayed for their success in their positions. She prayed that they would be in a place where Jesus would always understand that this one and that one that sit here with me is because Mama asked. Now, here's the thing that I find this very interesting. He never said no. And he never said yes. Just kind of like when you kids ask Mama for something and they don't answer you. You know what I'm talking about. Huh? Mom, can I go to the concert down in South Padre? Hello? And it has that look like... And it looks like they're just looking right through your soul, trying to discern what you're going to go and do. Who are you going with? Where are you going to stay? How many are staying there? But still hasn't asked anything just yet. Just the look, first of all. It's always a sigh. Here it comes, everybody. So we as children, right away, we just like, that's a no. Well, how about this one? We'll see. Or let me think about it. And what do we as children do? You never let me go nowhere. All my friends are going. All two of them. All two of my friends are going. So I gotta go or the world's gonna end. You know, cause when ain't that the truth? You never let me do nothing. So-and-so's mama's letting her go. Well, I ain't so-and-so's mama. I'm your mama. The kids don't like me right now, baby. They don't like me right now. Well, you're so strict. You're not fun like so-and-so's mama. You know, they start thinking before they're about to respond like some people should, but others, they don't even speak no more. I brought you in. Finish it. Okay, I'm just making sure that it wasn't just me that heard that. Huh? I carried you for 9 months. I'm the one that fed you. I'm the one that changed your diapers. Which brings me to the next point. Mothers are multitasked. Really? You didn't change your own diaper. As much as you think that you're the man. Or the woman. Oh, yeah. They changed the diapers with one hand, answering the phone, and stirring the pot with the other. But watch this. You probably don't remember this, that when they changed your diaper and it leaked down the dress when you had diarrhea. And they're getting ready to go to work.
Your only shirt.
On your only shirt.
But they do it with a smile. I'm late for work, and mira what you did. And you're a baby, like you're like, it's a good time. And all mom's gonna do is look back at you. That's my boy. That's my boy. Come here, mom. I just take it to the cleaners. Telling you, moms will do whatever they got to do. And sometimes, watch this. That's just in one day. They had to feed you, change you, bathe you like 6 times because you were always going. And then when they want to lift you up and they go, ay, mijo, you're so handsome, you're so cute. And then, all the vomit comes all over them and it just trickles on down. Or when you hold your baby up and mama's, ay, mira, que cute, que chula. And then the babas comes just streaming down. Mama just goes like this, wipes it away. And just love, love. Yeah. Or how about when you were first teething and you're, we all know about the teething. You can smell the teething process. Yeah. Smell sour, yep. Sour. But mama still reached down and kissed you in that sour mouth. And when you couldn't quiet down because you were uncomfortable at night, mama was the one that patted you down. You know that pat. You know the pat. Because you wouldn't fall asleep unless mama was patting you either on the tushy or on the back as you're going to bed. And then all of a sudden you start to... And then you get real restless, but mama's still right there. And then they start singing to you lullabies. Pastor, that was a long, I don't remember. I was a long time. I was a baby. I don't remember none of this. Well, maybe you should remember it. Because what happens is we lose sight of the fact that mama took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. Now that you're all grown, you take care of yourself. I got a J-O-B. I pay my own bills. Pay my own bills. You don't tell me how to, mama, I got NSF fees that came in. I don't know what happened. I put my card in the ATM. They weren't supposed to give me money if there's no money, but they gave me money. So I figured everything was okay. So I kept doing it until it quit giving me money, but they keep giving me money. Remember that, mama? In my first checking account. I got a checking account. I got a checking account. I got a checking account. What do you do with this book? I thought you have a checking account, you always have money because you have checks. Yeah. That, it don't work that way? No. Could I remember going to the store and telling mom, I want those shoes right there. Yeah, I don't know about those capas back in the day because it was the ones you always had to wear those capas. And you would wear the Jordache with them or the Sergio Valentes. You had to have the capas. Yeah, I don't know about this. Y'all don't know about this. And then when mama didn't have enough money, you just look over at them and say, mom, but you got checks. Just write a check. We had no understanding that money had to be in the account to write the check. Somebody just got convicted right now and they're an adult. Just go to the cross. They're an adult and they're still writing checks. No? I thought I knew it all. My first checking account. I went to the mall to get it. Before I left the mall, it was spent with temporary checks. Okay. Didn't put nothing in the register. Didn't know what a register was. Thought it was an extra book they gave me. Y'all don't know about that? Maybe it was just me. I don't know, lost where I was. See, I should have stayed right back there. Katrina. But as we grow older, we think that we know it all. We do. So we transition out of the little adolescent, little baby cutesy stuff. And let's just get into the point where my moms have to challenge you to make you grow. You think you know it all. You got all the answers. Okay. You want to go to Sixth Street during Halloween? Okay. I'm going to tell you this one time. Don't call me when you get in trouble. But well, so am I going to call? You don't ask me for 6 years straight, can you go? Now you want to go? Go. I'm going to let go. See what happens. I thought I was the man. I thought I was the man. I go down to 6th Street for the first time in my life during Halloween. I was so scared. I had never seen so many people dressed as crazy as I saw, drinking as much as they drank. And I thought I can drink. Y'all, your pastor wasn't always saved. Still isn't today, but I'm figuring it out. Now look. And go down, walking down 6th Street and seeing all kinds of craziness going on, wondering how did I get here? And watch this. Oh, you learn real quick if you really pay attention. The friends that go with you, you know, the ones that everybody's going and that you're not going to have a good time unless your friends go. They're the ones that leave you. They leave you trying to figure your way back home in a city you haven't been in. In a place you know nothing about. And we had no cell phones back then, Katrina. None. You had to get a pay phone. And they were always kind of away in a dark place. And then when you would get there, they were broke. So I remember having to call my mom because I had this black car. It was fly, man. It was black tinted windows. It had a nice stereo system. Boy, it was nice. It was two door. Boy, I would sit on it. It was a Grand Prix. Get in that thing and whoom, 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 whoom. What's the matter with this thing? I put gas in it. And she said, did you change the oil? Huh? I thought you just put gas in it and go. So what I do, Daniel, what I do? There's oil. I put oil. Stay in this conversation over here, woman. She makes fun of me because she says, all you do is just prophesy. You don't know nothing about my cars. It looks good. I'm going to get in, put gas, we go. Still. So I put the oil. I put the oil in this thing. Lord Jesus.
Lord help me.
Oh, I was really hurting. It made it to Austin.
Oh, yeah.
I went to start it so that I could leave. Couldn't find my friends, mind you. But since it was my car, Deuce, I'm gone. You should have been with me the whole time. Yeah, I don't know what it is that we pump the gas. It smells like gas all over the place. Jesus. Just get me home, Jesus. If you do it so much that the runs the battery dead, now nothing works. Mommy. Do I call mommy? I don't know where I'm at. I should have listened to you. learned the hard way, Jeff. We just learned the hard way. Some of us still don't learn, and that's me. I don't learn. But moms know how to bring a comforting voice even when they're mad. It says, I knew I was about to hear it from mom. Mira, I told you so. I told you you weren't supposed to go. You shouldn't have been going out there, but you wanted to go, so you went. I didn't care if she yelled at me, called me all kinds of names. Mommy was on the phone like, oh, I'm safe. She could be yelling at you, getting mad at you, but it's mommy on the phone, I'm okay. And nobody can touch me because mommy's on the phone. Where are you? I'm on the corner of walk and don't walk. What street are you on? It says walk and don't walk. Wait a minute, it just changed. Walk. I just tried to tell you. I don't know. Says, well, what else do you see? R. Pues mira Roy Rogers Ranch. They don't know. Y'all looking at me like you ain't that bad. Y'all just don't know. Here's the crazy thing. My cousin, her son. Wait a minute. Lived in Austin, who was telling me to come. But I didn't tell mama that I was going to go see him. And he's the one that left me. My own cousin leaves me. Wait a minute. This is a true story. I'm going to get back to the real message. But wait a minute. Let me finish. I call the apartment. No cell phones. Call the apartment. He was home asleep. I've been looking for you. Something's wrong in my car. What's wrong with it? It won't start. Call a tow truck. This ain't no lie. Her son knows nothing about cars. Gas? Is it nice? Wash it. It runs better when you wash it. Huh? Am I lying by you? This is your son. True. Know nothing about cars. I ain't know nothing about cars. If that had a good stereo in it, it would run forever. But as long as I had mama on the phone, I felt safe. Some of us need to know how to go to God when things are tough, and he'll bring peace. Even when he's rebuking you, even when he's chastising you and telling you, you shouldn't be going through this, but you keep going that way, and you don't want to listen to me. But I'm here. And that's how I know that when I look at mamas, I look at how God created them. Resilient. Soft. Forceful when they need to be. But loving at all times. Isn't that a blessing? Blessing. Amen. Just so many stories, but I'm just going to stay right here. Just gonna stay right here. I promise to get you out here real quick. I know y'all have a lot of things scheduled for Mother's Day, so I'm just. Okay. Is it focus? Okay. Now watch this. Sacrifice for her young. We recognize that mother's love is probably the closest example that we have to God's love. There's a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into being. It is a love of sacrifices itself over and over again, and would even dare to lay down its life for its own offspring. That's what mother's love is. I'm going to tell you a story from Solomon Rosenberg. and his wife and their two sons. It's a World War II story of the Holocaust. It's a true story. I want you to... the moment I read it, it tore me up. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you could do your work, you were permitted to live. When you became too weak to do your work, then you were exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father march off to their deaths, and he knew that the next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into his barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back, and he didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping, and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where's your mother?" asked Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said. "When they came for David, he was afraid and he cried, 'Mama.' And Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand and went with him." It is as close to my heart because I see my wife and what she does with her kids, my children, and I see what my mother has been through and what I put her through. And there's times that we see mothers going through and we don't understand how they come out. We don't understand how they come out of this and we don't know how they're going to make it. But mothers will put themselves in the face of danger for their children, even if the danger is in their own home. I have seen my mother stand up to my father. Put herself in harm's way for me. I've seen Mom in her frailty be the strongest woman I've ever seen her be. I've seen my wife in times of frailty be the strongest woman I've ever known. And I said, "God, if I could ever understand how you made a mom to be so strong but yet so frail." That they'll sacrifice their life for their children. And I knew one thing was for sure, that God was saying that I sent you my son so that he could sacrifice his life for you. In his weakness and his frailty, he came for you. He didn't come as the king riding on a horse. He came as a savior riding on a donkey. He came as a servant so that he can serve us. And in the times where we're weak, the word says he's strong. And when we feel like we're alone, he's never left our side. And I began to understand as I began to do the study on this for Mother's Day is that he is like the mother that will allow us to make decisions in our life even when it's going to hurt. But to keep us even when we go down the wrong path. Daddy is a good daddy. And I know it's Mother's Day, but I want you to look back and remember and reflect on the things that Mom has done for you. And I know that there's times that mothers haven't been in your life. Maybe you didn't have a mother that was there that would care for you. You had to grow up on your own as a young individual, and you had to do for yourself or do for your siblings. I feel the Holy Ghost as I begin to speak this to you, is that you have become a mother in your own sense because you had to care for others when no one was caring for you. And you had to do things that no one showed you how to do, but you had to learn how to do it. And you were always having to work hard and do things and work extra hours just to put food on the table. It was sacrifices that you yourself as an individual had to make for those that you love, whether your siblings or you did it just to survive. And it's tough. It's hard. But I know this, that if you made it this far, he's not going to leave you like this. He's going to take you to where you need to be. He's going to get you to his desired end. As long as your desire is his desire, you'll see the fruition of your destiny. But when you choose things on your own and choose to do things like, I know it all and I got it all together, he will allow you to fall off of that bike and scrape your knee, and he'll be there to help you to get back up. But I know one thing about Jesus. I've witnessed it in my life, and I've seen it through the lives of many people. He's here to help you to become a better person, just like him. He gave us a blueprint of what the kingdom of God is when he sent his son. And when he sent his son Jesus, he says, if you do this like me, or be like me and love like me and not judge, watch what I'll do for you. You will see the benefits of the kingdom of God on your behalf. I want you to understand that in a time of Mother's Day, Father's Day, Grandparents' Day, it's your children's birthday, don't forget that God has given you the greatest gift of all. Of all. He saved your very soul. Your very soul. So in conclusion, I just want to share with you, for you mothers that have gone through, prayed your children through, seen them at their worst and seen them at their best, seen them trying to figure out how they're going to make it, and wish that you could step right on in and take things over. Say, let me do it, God. Don't allow this sickness in their body. I'll take that sickness. I wish it would have been me and not them. That very thought is that he's there for you, that he has stepped in for you. So I encourage you mothers, and I encourage you fathers as well. You're not alone in this journey that you're in. You're not alone. But he wants to get you to a place, an understanding, that he brought you out of some place that you didn't know how to get through, to bring to you a love and understanding about who he is, for a sacrifice that he made for you. You may be standing in a corner not knowing where you're at, and the only thing you can look up is for directions. And he's saying, I'm here with you. I'm here with you. I want you to hold on to the truth that he ain't going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you, but he will help you. He'll help you help yourself. If you've been through a tough time, and I need the love of the Father to come and help me through this, now's the time to come to the front as Josh is playing, so that we, as the shepherds of this house, can lay hands on you, believe God with you, for you, and pray you through. Shepherds are a representation of a father that care for you, love you, and want the best for you. And at times, you may feel like you haven't lived up to that kind of expectations in your life. Well, the only thing that we can do as shepherds is pray for you and pray that God will help you through. I know that God is trying to gather his people together. Not to scatter them, not to separate them, but to gather. And if sometimes you feel like this is just a little bit too much, God, well, I want to encourage you to come to the front and know that God's going to get you through, but we'll stand with you in belief that it's going to happen. So I invite you to come to the altar and receive your touch from God and receive that encouragement from Daddy in heaven to let you know you're not alone in this journey. You'll make it through. And we'll stand with you and believe in with you for it. So come on up. Amen.